asking the Lord for His blessing. Heavenly Father, we come before Your throne of grace this morning with thankful praise for the wonder of Your grace. We may have the wonderful assurance that our sins are atoned for through Your Son, our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. We want to commit ourselves to You in obedient service as You require that of us in Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that we may confess with the psalmist that the word of the Lord is upright and that all His work is done in faithfulness. The Lord loves righteousness and justice, He went on to say. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. Father, may we ever acknowledge that and confess that joyfully every day. As we now read and listen to Your word, we ask, Father, will You, by Your Spirit, enable us to hear what the Spirit says to the church unto the upbuilding of our faith? To then will You bless the ministry of the word this morning. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Our scripture reading you will find in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So far the reading of God's holy word. Our text for this morning you will find in the book of Psalms. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 100. It says here, a psalm for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do it every Sunday, once or even twice. We come together as congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ for worship. And often it is said with the words of Psalm 100 that are then read as a call to worship. No doubt you have so heard those words many times. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. But what does it mean to worship? What are we, what are you to do when you are called to worship? The Reverend Morris Gridanus, a classmate of mine in seminary, reflecting on that question, wrote the following. It is a strange thing that worship, which we do each Sunday and which is so intertwined with our daily life, can still be so misunderstood. Worship is, of course, to bring praise to God, to exalt him, to show publicly what he is worth to us. But, he then goes on to say, but we confuse, that is, we misunderstand worship either by thinking that we are to get something out of it, emotionally or intellectually, or by thinking that worship is something extra which we do for God. But now, when we are stuck on the first misconception that we are the ones to get something out of it, then it is so easy to say after a Sunday worship service, I got nothing out of it. It did nothing for me. It didn't say anything to me. And when we think of worship as an extra something which we do for God, then it is easy to see ourselves as doing something abnormal when we worship. Normal people don't do this extra thing. Moreover, church members who then fail to do this extra thing, in other words, the people who are not regular, not faithful in their attendance, need to be scolded and reminded to do this extra thing for the Lord regularly, twice per Sunday. Well, that sounds more or less familiar, doesn't it? Oh yes, the elders, you can be sure, the elders deal with this at many of their meetings. They know. People say it. You yourself may have said it. I get so little out of the worship service. It doesn't really ever touch me. And we all know it. All efforts to scold us or to remind us to attend or to somehow stir us to action or to satisfy us emotionally or intellectually, all that simply doesn't work. Unless we first get it straight what worship really is and why it is we are called to do it. And let me assure you right now, once we get that straight, the scolding will not be necessary anymore, because then we will see that worship is the most normal thing in all the world for people to engage in. Worship, you see. Ah, yes, worship is something you do, something you are called to do. Oh no, no one can do it for you. That was the point I used to make when I spoke at the jail in St. Catharines. I would tell the men, by way of explaining to them why there was not a choir offering special music, I would say to them, I cannot worship for you. I can only help you as you offer your worship to God. But I cannot worship for you. Remember, I would say, God created each of His children to worship Him. Therefore, worship is the most normal thing for people to do. With that in mind, I now invite you to listen carefully to this psalm, which calls us to worship. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Significantly, God's people of Old Testament Revelation days sang this psalm both as they entered the temple and while they were in the house of the Lord. Well now, the last verse, you see, tells us what it is that is foundational for all of our worship, and what must therefore be central to all of our worship. This confession that the Lord is good, that His love endures forever, and that His faithfulness endures to all generations. You know, of course, that the refrain, His steadfast love endures forever, is repeated many times in the Bible. 26 times, as a matter of fact, in Psalm 136. Well now, that confession was so intimately related to the daily life of God's people of the Old Testament days that even the army, before entering into battle, would sing, "Give thanks to God, for His love endures forever." That confession, you see, that confession, consciously lived by the child of God every day, that confession made and makes it possible for the Lord's covenant people to do what the psalmist says, first of all, this: make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. You can't miss it. The psalmist invites the worshipers. Yes, he urges them to come to the Lord with a joyful noise, with gladness of heart, with singing. So it is, you see. So it is, the Lord wants us to enter His house. Verse 4 then adds to that. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, it says, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. Then I say it again. You can't miss the point. See, the Lord expects of all who come to worship Him in His house of prayer that they come with joy in their hearts. And that means, you understand, yes, that means that they, that we, have prepared ourselves beforehand, before we come to church. It means also that we are ready to offer ourselves in worship to our God when we get here. Yes, it means that we are eager to give ourselves, yes, to present ourselves with gladness and with singing, it says. It means that we are eager to give ourselves for and unto the praise of our God. After all, our whole being will then be focused on, yes, it will concentrate on the glory of the Lord. Remember now, the question of worship is not, what do I get out of it? Rather, the question is, how can I offer myself to God so that the sacrifice of my whole life will be a sacrifice of praise that is pleasing to the Lord? Say that in other words, the question of right and proper worship is, what will God get out of it from me? That, you see, that is the question we have to ask ourselves over and over again. What will God, the Lord God, the Almighty, what will He get out of it from me? And that, don't forget, I ask, that will be the question for all eternity, as we enter upon the eternal Sabbath with the Lord. The question is, how will we, how can we praise the Lord for all eternity? Do you ever think of that? Does it even interest you today? See, once you see the seriousness of that question, you understand also that the question, how can a worshiper, how can I, as a worshiper of the Lord, be happy, takes on an altogether different flavor. Oh yes, people wonder, how can you, yes, how can I, come to a church on Sunday morning with praise and thanksgiving, with a smile on my face and with a song in my heart, and then come again on Sunday afternoon? Does that not depend on how I feel, or perhaps on how my past week went? Not so, says the psalmist. You can come. Yes, you are called to come with joy and gladness because of who the Lord God is. Yes, because who He, the Lord God, is for you, for us. The psalmist drives that point home in verse 3. And then again in verse 5. No, he says. Yes, you must know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us. And we are His. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. That's verse 3. Then in verse 5 he says, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. You hear it. It is the Lord God who made us. So we are His possession, and He is the one who looks after us. He is our caregiver. See, that explains why it is that we, His creatures, are called to worship Him. And to be sure, we can depend on Him. He is good. His love is steady, steadfast, faithful. It is ever to be trusted. There it's clear. We worship the Lord God because God is God. Yes, He is the Lord God, the Almighty. We worship Him because He is the covenant-keeping God. He has promised that He will be the shepherd of His people forever. He will care for us most gently and with great compassion. He will feed us and nourish us in the green pastures of His Word. He will guide us and lead us in the way everlasting. Ah, yes, as He sealed that promise to us in our baptism, just so He does, because so He is. To be sure, being the sheep of His pasture means also that we feed on, yes, that we want to feed on His Word. You see, there must be a hungering for the Word. That, you see, must characterize the sheep. Nevertheless, the reason for our worship of the Lord must lie in who He is. It does not indeed, it cannot lie in our emotions or in our needs of the day. Neither does it lie in the entertainment value of what happens on the pulpit or in the pew. If it were to be the entertainment value that is to draw people to the worship service, then it should be recognized that the church is in a very poor competitive situation. What with TV and sport and videos and concerts and iPods and iPads to make whatever entertainment your heart may desire available to you instantaneously. So it cannot be the entertainment value of the worship service that must draw us to come and worship. It is God, and He alone, who is the reason why we are here at the worship services today. Since the Lord God is the maker of heaven and earth, since all lands and all reality owes its existence to Him, worship is normal and is urged by the psalmist for everyone. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth, he says. You can't miss it. The whole creation is called to praise the Creator. After all, every creature in the whole of God's creation can and will only come to its proper place and fulfill its God-ordained purpose as that creature is turned to God in worship. But now, if that is indeed true of every creature, and it is, then surely it is true of man, the crown of God's creation. God calls us to turn to Him in worshipful adoration. He calls us to listen to the voice of our shepherd, who, as our caring shepherd, will lead us and direct us in the pathway of life. And remember well, the undeniable fact is, every knee shall bow to Him. Oh yes, every knee shall bow before Him. Paul writes to the church at Philippi concerning Jesus, God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. You hear it. Every knee shall bow. We tend to think so small. We are so hesitant in our expectations. We act as if God is a hobby reserved for a few people like us who happen to like that hobby. You know, of course, that if you collect stamps or raise African violets, not everyone will do the same. But remember it well. When we treat God as our hobby, then we ignore the fact that He is the Creator of all people and that He is the only source of life for all. See, when we don't really expect all people to worship the Lord with us, then we forget, then we have forgotten again who God is. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament places the whole matter of worship into even sharper focus for us. Not only are we to worship the Lord God because of the fact that He it is who made us and cares for us, but we are to worship Him also because of who He is for us in Jesus Christ. I appeal to you by the mercies of God, says Paul to the church at Rome. I appeal to you, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. In other words, the mercies, that is, the grace of God, which you know in Jesus Christ, that is the divine initiative to which Paul urges us to give a life-resounding response of worship to the Lord. And in that worship, for that worship, God asks that we use all the gifts with which He has equipped us for living the Christian life. To be sure, that worship will involve us in the battle against all evil. For God asks that we obey His will, His law for our life. So we cannot help but become involved in the struggle against the secular, all-consuming, anti-God, anti-Christian lifestyle of our time. No more than we can avoid being hospitable people who bestow love and care on our fellow church members as well as on our neighbor. After all, we sing those words. They will know that we are Christians by our love. Sunday worship, you see, will always seem strange, unreal, phony, otherworldly, unless it is part and parcel of the life of worship. And remember it well. Life is not truly lived if life is not worship. And never forget it. Where life is not worship, then the creator of life is forgotten right in the middle of our living. And see, where the creator is forgotten, where the creator of life is ignored, their life is a dead end. People make a mess of life, as can be seen all around. Yes, people make a mess of life when they ignore or deny the maker of life. No, says the psalmist, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. That, you see, is true of all people, also of those who refuse to acknowledge that we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. And then you see also the warning of this psalm. Worship, I said, is normal. It is normal for every creature in God's creation because He, the Lord our God, He made them all with the express purpose that they worship Him. If then there are those who do not worship, consciously worship the Lord, why then they act contrary to their nature. Then they are abnormal. Then they deliberately go against the grain of nature. Then they want to make a go of life while deliberately choosing to be out of touch with its creator and its savior. See, they're the warning to us. When we think of or experience worship as something abnormal, as something that is not part and parcel of our daily life, but as something we do maybe reluctantly only on a Sunday morning, but certainly not joyfully twice every Sunday, then perhaps slowly, but certainly very surely, we will lose awareness of God's grace, of His salvation, of His kingdom, as His kingdom is already there today, and as it is surely coming tomorrow and will be forever. Then we will no longer experience the fact that He is in charge and that He is our goal today, forever. Oh yes, we need that awareness of God, of His kingdom, of His rule, of His power so very much. Because life isn't always so easy for us. Sometimes the peace of God seems so far removed from us. We can be filled with many lonely hours and days. There are the hostile forces that surround us. We wonder sometimes what is really happening to the salvation of the Lord in our personal life. But on Sunday, with the gathered congregation, on Sunday, we may see that God has been busy. All of us together, we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. On Sunday, we see it. God, the Good Shepherd, has been at work, gathering and saving His people. Then we see it all around us. Then we know that we are not the only individuals who thought the lone individuals we thought we were. Then we know it. We are part of the people who believe, who are being saved by the faithful love of our God. The psalmist, confessing that, urges all of us to make a joyful noise to the Lord. As he tells us to come into His presence with singing again and again and again. So we must understand it well. We are the losers when we don't come and worship with the congregation every time the congregation is called to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Because then and so, we are the ones who lose contact with the ongoing work of God. And also, when we don't come and worship the Lord with His gathered for worship congregation, then we are the ones who place ourselves in the danger zone. For then we will forget more and more that the true center of our life is the Lord God. Then we will begin to run after fakes, after the idols of our age. Just watch who the people today will truly be worshiping. It will not be the Lord. It will be football or some other sport. Then we will become like the Gentiles of whom Paul speaks in Romans 1. Although they knew God, says Paul, think of that. Although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. Then our life will begin to crumble and to fall. So then, we are confronted with this fact. We will not have or experience real joy and the fulfillment of life unless we find it here in the worship services first, in the praising of our Maker. And you will experience it here only when you come here with joy and gladness, with a song in your heart, a song of praise to God who made us, who made you, whose steadfast love endures forever. And then our praise will endure also when we join wholeheartedly the ranks of those who have gotten back to normal, who in Jesus Christ and by His Spirit have seen the goodness of the Lord and simply cannot stop praising Him for the wonder of His grace. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let us pray together. Father, we have sought to understand what it is you say to us in your word about worship. We have heard also that you ask that we come before you here as congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ to offer thankful praise to you for the wonder of your grace as we may experience it anew every day. May we indeed find it a joy, Lord, so to do as you call us to make a joyful noise to the Lord, to serve you with gladness, to come into your presence with singing. Keep us, we pray, O Lord, keep us from the sin of not honoring you as you ask that of us, that we know very well and confess that you are Almighty God. Father, we pray, teach us to live what we confess every Sunday, every day, for Jesus' sake. Amen.